A house is made of wood and stone, but only love can make a home. Welcome to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, helping you make your home into one you'll love even more. Here are your hosts, Dan Hansen and Betsy Thompson.
And we are here, Betsy.
Well,
it's another happy Saturday for, I bet, 9/10
of
the listening
audience.
Don't you think?
I would guess so. Unless there are kids listening and they're like barely crawling out of bed, I'm guessing, since it was,
school week. You know what? That, I get it. I do get it. But when the kids start the, back to school, I'm thinking, you know what? You had three months off, for heaven's sake. I think you can handle this.
Yeah.
But it is back to school time.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of changes going on.
There's a lot of despair.
And a lot slower drive to work.
Yes. School buses everywhere stop every,
yes,
you know, 20 feet.
Well, that and the construction.
I don't even know
how to get anywhere anymore.
I know. It is terrible.
But I don't want to complain.
No.
Because at least we'll have good roads and intelligent children. That's
right.
What we're hoping for, right? That's what we're banking on.
Uh-huh.
So it is back to school. And that means fall's here.
So let's transition
into what we're going to talk about. We've got a great fall home maintenance class that's going to take place today. We're not putting it on, but RepcoLite did sponsor it, and we want to let you know about it. That's coming up at the end of the show.
We're also going to talk about hammers because, let's face it, they can be a little confusing when you buy one. But first, I am a history geek and everyone knows it. I love old houses. I love the renovation process and the stories behind it. So today we are sitting here with Steve Zweep, the City of Holland Parks Department supervisor, and we're going to talk about the historic Van Ralty farmhouse that is actually right here in Holland. Steve, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me here.
All right. Now, I helped you with a project a year or so ago, which is actually how I met you. You were working at the Van Ralty farm, and we were looking for paint colors and wallpaper and things like that. You had a committee that was going to redo some of the Van Ralty farm. Can we just take a quick step back and tell all of our listeners what exactly the Van Ralty farm is here in Holland and why it's important?
The Ralty Farm is a 160-acre piece of property that was bought by Benjamin Van Ralty years ago. Actually, I think it was deeded to him by our founder, Albertus Van Ralty, to his son, Benjamin. And the 160 acres was under the Homestead Act, and so Benjamin came with his wife, and they built a house, cleared the land, and started farming the land there.
Mm-hmm.
And so the house was built in 1870. It's an old historic home, and it's important to preserve that history of Holland because he is the son of our founder. The house is really kind of a cool house,
mm-hmm,
along with the property. Right now, the property has a multi-use purpose. We have a lot of recreational stuff going on. DeGraff Nature Center uses the place for their nature trails and education series. We also have a sledding hill, which is just south of the house.
My sister broke her collarbone on your hill.
Really?
Yeah, it was quite an experience.
Yeah?
Yeah, really? I thought it was great because put her out of commission for certain things, and I got to take more of the spotlight at home.
You are evil. Oh, yeah. My goodness.
Yeah, it was actually walking up the hill, so it wasn't the hill's fault.
Okay.
It's a good hill. We've always had a lot of fun there.
It's a very cool piece of property. I've been out there a number of times. I've walked some of the trails out there, but the house itself and the barns that are around it, they're amazing.
Yeah, they are amazing. The city bought the property in the early 80s,
mm-hmm,
and they allowed a caretaker or some people to rent the house for a number of years, and then they finally left. I don't know why they left. And
is there a really great story about them leaving?
No, I wish there was a great story, but I think they just left. They just moved on
That's
to something different.
Right.
At about the time they left and the caretakers left, we turned it over. And DeGraff Nature Center needed more space for their education programs, and so we went into the house. Like I said, right around the turn of the century. That sounds so good, doesn't it?
It does.
makes
I
the
always
house
think
older
you're
than,
way, way, way older. Turn of the century, like 1900s? Oh, no, wait. We're in a new century. Gotcha.
But anyway.
Oh, I just caught that.
Yeah, let me catch up.
I'm paying attention.
Yeah.
Anyway, in the early 2000s, we went in there and We kind of revamped the room.
So, Steve, when did the restoration process really get underway?
Well, it happened, I want to say it was about maybe four years ago. It could have been five. We looked at it. There's a group, the Civil War Muster Group. They've been using the farm for a few years prior to that, holding Civil War battles. And they used the house for part of their muster programs. And anyway, the porch, the front porch was, and the pillars that were holding up the porch were starting to fall down. And I said, we have to do something to this thing because the Civil War muster, they stand on the porch. They have a fowl, Abraham Lincoln, a docent, if you would. And I said,
that wasn't the real Abraham?
No, unfortunately
oh,
not.
Oh, you're so out of luck there.
Anyway, I said, if he stands on this porch, he's going to fall through and it's going to look bad for the city.
Yeah.
So what we did that fall, we put plywood down and painted it gray just to get by. And I said to my boss, Andy Kenya, I said, we need to do something about this porch. We need to get this thing fixed. And that really kind of started the whole thing.
It's funny how projects like that jumpstart something. We start a kitchen in our homes, you know, just
right.
Do a kitchen remodel. And who knows? It takes a little bit of time.
Yeah, it just snowballs. You start with one thing, and then you see the next, and the next, and the next.
Right. And that's what happened is we did the porch, and we did have some money. At that point in time, they had put some money into the city budget for Vinrealty Farm, not specifically for the house, but for the whole farm.
Right.
And so we took that money. Then in the wintertime, I had my crews go in there. And there was an awful mauve pink in that house. Oh, it was just horrible.
Yep. I saw it.
Oh. And we went in there. We stripped the walls. We repainted. And that's about the time I got involved with Betsy. We went in there. And another lady, Caroline Marquez, I consulted with her and said, I'd like to bring her in because she has a big interest in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And so she came in, and she also worked with Betsy.
Yeah.
And they picked out some period correct colors, I believe.
Yep.
Right. Now, that part's really interesting to me is because I'm curious. Well, I know how we got to there, but I'm sure listeners are wondering, period correct colors, how do we get to that? You know, are we just... What are we basing that on?
Well, we actually started with wallpaper. At that time, there was a historically accurate wallpaper book. It was reproductions of historic wallpapers that would have been originally in the home. And we kind of toned them down a little bit because they were a little bit loud. And so we went with something very similar but toned down. And then we picked historic colors, Benjamin Moore historic colors, Williamsburg, and just their regular historic collection that coordinated with those wallpapers.
Now, did you have a photo that you worked from for the wallpapers? I thought you had like some
there
sort of
were
old...
a couple very grainy old black and white photos that we kind of got an idea of what the wallpaper looked like. They weren't great, but it gave us an idea as to what was in there.
Right. It was black and white because back then they didn't have colors when they took those pictures.
Right.
And, so we went with black and white paper,
yeah,
right? Because we wanted to be authentic.
That's right. That's right. Now, what happened is Betsy and Carolina, they picked out a pattern that closely matched what was in the house at that time. And I believe those pictures were taken right around the early 1900s, 1910, around there. So we had that going. So maybe it wasn't quite the original wallpaper when they built the house in the 1870s, but it was pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
And so we painted the walls, we prepped the walls, painted the walls, and
what kind of work was involved in that? Was that a crazy amount of work to get the walls in decent shape?
Yeah, they were, there was peeled paint around. It hadn't been painted probably in 14, 15 years at least.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was paint that was peeling. There were spots in the ceiling near the east door that the plaster had gotten wet and was crumbling and deteriorating. So we had to fix that. We sanded the walls down and...
Was there a point when you're looking at all of this work thinking, how in the world are we going to pull this off? Or did you guys just take it? I know we talked to Patty Meyer from the Felt Mansion, and she talked about a similar restoration project, and her focus was one room at a time. You know, little bits, little steps, and we'll get it done. Is that how you looked at this?
That's how I looked at it, is one bit at a time, depending on the budget and how the money was. So we looked at, like I said, in the painting the inside, and that went well. While we were there, I looked at the floor, and we had just an awful carpet on the floor.
It was the worst carpet I've ever seen.
It was hideous, and and in my mind, I wanted to rip that up and see if we had hardwood floors underneath.
Sure,
but that didn't happen until I think it was the next year. Maybe it was even 2 years later. But then the project ended in the winter. We got busy with spring, and we had to stop the project.
Well, speaking of stopping, we got to take a quick commercial break. Can you hang with us until the next segment, and we'll pick it up on the other side?
I would love to.
All right. We'll be back in the studio with Steve Zweep right after this. Stay tuned.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Welcome back. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. Now, we are back in the studio with Steve Zweep. We were talking about the Van Ralty Farm in the last segment and all the restoration that's going on there. You were just talking about how you pulled up carpet and were hoping to find some wood floors under there, but then you had to stop the project. So what came after that?
Well, after we pulled that up, we stopped the project.
Did you find the wood floors that you were looking for?
No, we did not.
Did you find a body?
No.
Did you find anything
really? We were worried about that, but there were no bodies.
Thank goodness.
We might have found a dead mouse carcass or now and then. But
well,
hey,
that's a dead body.
It's an old farmhouse.
Right.
Well, what happened is spring came along, and we had to get ready for tulip time, our large festival in Holland. And then summer came along. And in the meantime, we had put money in the budget to repaint the house, the exterior of the house. Mm-hmm. And we went again, Caroline Marquez and another lady, and I forget her name right now. I wish I knew her name. They consulted again with Betsy and Repco Light, which were actually great because they consulted with Benjamin Moore.
Mm-hmm.
And through both Repco Light and Benjamin Moore, they donated the paint for the project.
Now, we used Aura on that, didn't we?
Yeah, we
Aura
did.
Aura Exterior, Benjamin Moore's Aura Exterior.
Yep, we sure did, because we were doing some color changes that we weren't quite sure about. So we thought that was probably the best bet.
Because Aura covers so well.
Right.
Yeah.
And like I said, we painted the farmhouse and it looks great. I mean, the paint is holding up nice.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you go with color-wise? Just a white? It's got a yellow hue to it. Just a slight yellow, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a creamier color.
Was that a historic color that you picked? Did you base it on?
I believe it was. I believe it was a historic color.
Yeah.
For that time period.
Okay.
And the main body of the house is a yellow, a light yellow with white trim, and it looks pretty sharp, especially with the new porch that we put on.
Abe Lincoln can stand there and not fall.
Yes, that's true. Along with other dignitaries.
Right.
So then once that was done, we went back into the house and I wanted that carpet up. So that winter, I sent my crew in there and said, pull that up. We pulled it up, and there was old linoleum on there from the 1920s.
Oh, I bet that was nice.
Oh, that was a lot of fun. We peeled it up. We took what we call scuffs or holes and tried to get the tar underneath up, and we just couldn't do it. And finally, we went to someone, a hardwood floor specialist, said, is this worth saving? He said, no, absolutely not.
The wood floor wasn't worth it.
No, it was not worth saving. And so we got a price from him, and for about $7,000, we put new oak hardwood floors in the house. And it looks fantastic in there. Along with that, Carolina went out and she picked runners and carpets, period correct carpets, and now it looks really nice.
So now it's a whole house again.
Well, it's a whole house. Amazing what you can do to bring these things back to a modern feel,
right,
but yet with all the original colors, a lot of the original patterns.
Right.
Like you said, we can find wallpaper that has historic basis. You know, it's drawn from historical papers.
Right.
Carpets that are done that way.
Yeah.
Paint colors. All of that can be done to restore some of these places. You're not just putting brand new stuff, brand new color schemes up there. We're working with colors that are really like what it was.
Right.
Right. That's the goal. That's one of the goals, is that we want to restore the farmhouse to as close to 1870, 1880s condition as possible. The next step is we want to go upstairs. We did paint the upstairs also with some period correct colors. And we want to go up there and pull up the carpeting up there and see what the flooring looks like there. The idea is we want to get some, also get some furniture in the house.
It's got to be fun to see this the way you've seen it. You've seen it from the very beginning to the stage that it's in now. I mean, that's got to be rewarding. And then you've got a vision for where you want to go with this.
Well, we do have a vision, and we would like to do a lot more things, but you know, the city owns it, so it's budget constraints.
Yep.
And see if we can't work on getting donations solicited to help restore the farmhouse to where the way it used to be. In the early 50s or in the 50s, they put on an addition to the back of the house, which is not period correct. And there's a number of us that would like to see that come off. Mm-hmm. And so that we can restore the house. But that's going to be, to do that, that's going to probably be about a $250,000 project.
Right.
And so that would take some monies and grants for that to happen.
The public, I mean, is there any way we can see some of this? Can we get on the grounds and at least look at the house? What's available to us so we can appreciate some of this?
The grounds are always open. You can walk up to the farmhouse and look around. We don't have the farmhouse open for to the public.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about doing that maybe once a month, having that done. But right now, we don't have the furniture in there, so there's not a lot to look at. But you can admire the house. You can look at the barns. We don't encourage people to go into the barns just because we don't want people in there because they're old and we don't want mischief to happen. So,
right.
So, but you can stroll through the grounds.
And then we've got the Civil War muster starting next week Saturday, right, Betsy?
Yeah, the 15th.
That's definitely, if you haven't been to that, that's definitely something to pay attention to. Now, is there a charge for that?
No, the muster is free.
The muster is free. A lot of people come. I know you shuttle people in from different areas. There's parking and you'll bring them in. I can't recommend that enough. That was a lot of fun. My kids went there. We all went there. I remember they had a cannon on the field. I remember there was this child sitting next to us wearing headphones or like earmuffs, like great big, you know, ear protection.
Because it's loud.
Well, and my son, Caleb, who is a loud talker, was talking to me. And that kid wearing these ear protections while the cannon is going on hits my son on the shoulder and gets his attention and says, "Shh. Please, shh." I thought, Caleb, you just outdid a cannon with your voice.
Wow.
So that's what I remember.
But
it was a really fun thing. So what's it going to look like this year?
The battles that they simulate are on Saturday and a Sunday. They do have some education programs. They have civilian camps because the civilians followed the soldiers around to help support them. And and then you also have the infantry camps and the cavalry camps and stuff like that. So
it's very really cool. It's something to definitely go check out if you haven't. Even if you have, you can always go back.
Well, and even if you can't make it out to that, at least go out, check out the grounds, take some of the trails. They're fantastic. I cannot recommend them
enough.
Peek
through the windows at the wallpaper Betsy picked.
Exactly. It's fabulous. Steve, thanks so much for being with us today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Well, Betsy, when we come back, it's hammer time. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not going to want to miss this. Stay tuned.
If you want to take your DIY skills up a rung, the Repco Light Home Improvement Show is here to give you a boost on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, Betsy, now we're going to talk about hammers. And
yes,
I had initially wanted to go into the whole history of hammers.
Right.
But it basically is a rock.
Stone? Tink,
a rock.
Tink, tink.
And then the improvement was lashing the stone to a hunk of wood.
Right.
And then eventually metal came into the play. And you can see how the whole thing works.
Right.
So that really wasn't all that interesting. So what we wanted to do is focus on just the fact that, first off, there's all kinds of different hammers. You've got ball peen hammers. You've got tack hammers.
Right.
You know, upholstery hammers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sledgehammers.
Yes.
What other kind of hammers? Rubber mallets.
Yeah. Claw hammers.
Claw hammers. And that's what we want to talk about.
Right.
That's what most people think about when they think mm-hmm. about just a typical hammer.
Well, yeah, and it's something that everyone should have. There should be no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You should have a claw hammer.
Right. Now, a lot of people think about hammers, I think, in the same way that people tend to think about paint sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And that paint is paint.
Right.
Right. We run into that all the time.
A hammer is a hammer.
Why do I need to buy more expensive paint or higher end paint when I can just get cheaper paint?
Because yep.
paint's the same all the way around.
Yep.
Well, it's not.
Mm-mm.
Better paint gives you a better experience when you put it on.
Yeah.
Try it once and you'll notice the difference.
Right.
The same is true with hammers. Some of us, the only experience we've got are the bargain hammers that we find for $2 in a bin.
Well, yeah, because we think, well, we're not going to use it that often, so I'll just buy this cheap one and it'll last for what I need it to do. That, however, makes the experience not quite as good as it could be. And sometimes it's frustrating to use because the experience can be so terrible.
But the good news is you really don't have to drop tons of money to get a good hammer.
No, not at all.
In fact, you know, we've found them from $9 up to, you know, $26, $36. I mean, you can keep going.
Well,
but you can get a good one for $9, $10.
Right.
So we want to help you figure out what that one is,
mm-hmm.
you know, because when you go to the store, you're confronted with a bazillion options.
A wall of options.
You know, it's surprising how many different options. And
yeah.
the very first thing that you're going to notice is that there's all these different weights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's everything from little tiny hammers with 7 ounces on them.
Right.
You know, up to 36-ounce hammers. I mean,
yeah.
there's a huge range.
Right.
You don't need normally the extremes of that.
No.
What we'd recommend is probably a 16-ounce hammer for most, you know,
yeah.
around-the-home type projects. If you do a lot of maybe demolition or something,
mm-hmm.
you know, tearing stuff apart, or you hammer it together wrong the first time and then got to rip it all apart, then you might want a 20-ounce hammer just
right.
because you've got a little more weight to work with, but typically 16-ounce.
Well, yeah, and those little hammers aren't going to do you much if you're driving nails into something. They're more for if you're doing upholstery and things like that and you have to tack little tiny nails in, or if you do jewelry. I make some jewelry and I have a little tiny hammer like that, so that's about all those are good for.
Right. Don't get one of those thinking that's going to help you because it's just a little easier to
right,
swing
because
or to
it's
use.
Lighter. It doesn't do you any favors when it comes to actually driving the nail. You'll be there all day and you will be frustrated before the nail's even set.
There you go. So the first thing is the weight.
Yep.
The next thing you're going to notice is a visual difference, and there's the curved claw
mm-hmm.
and there's a straight rip claw hammer.
Right.
So the curved claw looks like a little rocking chair.
Yes.
Right? Upside
yeah.
down?
Yeah. It helps you pull nails out when you don't set them quite right.
Right. And it's the shape that we're all familiar
right.
with.
Right. Yeah.
I read online that the difference or the reason for that curved claw,
mm-hmm.
one of them, you know, the person did say it was for pulling nails out.
Okay.
But a secondary benefit that I thought was hilarious, because they weren't joking. A secondary benefit is that the curved claw is better for do-it-yourselfers. Because when you swing it backwards to drive a nail forward,
huh?
when you go on that backswing,
okay.
if you have a straight claw, you could poke your eye right out. And with the curved claw, it's just going to mash your face.
You have got to be kidding
no,
me.
No, I'm not. Yeah, it's much safer because you're only going to mash your face, but
well,
not jab your eye
Well, hopefully you're not
out.
Hammering that close to your face. I'm pretty sure there are
well,
warnings
sometimes
on
I got to line it up. You know,
you got to get that close
get the right
to
shot.
See. I think they have glasses for that.
Yeah, I should use glasses. So which of these claws, Betsy?
We would recommend the straight claw. I know it's counterintuitive to what we all think of, but the straight claw is actually going to be better if you're doing any sort of demolition at any point in time. And we found that when you compare the two, the weight balance between the two is a little bit different. You know, that curved claw tends to bring the hammer back just a little bit further, and that straight one, there's just a better balance.
It feels better. We talked to a contractor,
yeah.
and that was exactly what he pointed out, is
mm-hmm.
he just loves that because he feels like he's driving the nail better
right.
with that than with the curved claw.
Mm-hmm.
And he recommended the straight rip claw for everybody. Do it
yeah.
yourself or beginner.
Yeah.
Don't worry about that. If you're worried about your eyes, Wear glasses, sunglasses, sunglasses, right. Wear safety glasses.
Right. Well, and I just want to point out that even with that straight claw hammer, you can still pull those nails out if they don't set properly.
You just need to rock it from side to side a little bit to loosen them up, and it works just fine. And there are other implements to get the nails out if you need them.
Yeah.
So another big difference that you'll notice is the handles. There's wood handles, fiberglass handles, and then there are hammers that are a solid piece of steel.
Right.
You know, which one of those is better? Well, the steel handle has the benefit of, you know, the head is never going to loosen from the handle. It's not going to break.
It's all one piece.
It's one piece.
Yep.
The downside to the steel is that there's a lot of vibration.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the steel hammers that say they're anti-vibration or that they've got some technology to minimize that, you still feel it.
We still felt it. We tried it out. We tested, you know, a few different hammers just to see the difference, and you do feel it. We actually liked the ones that were a fiberglass. It didn't quite have that same vibration.
It was easier to use. If you're going to use it for any length of time, I probably wouldn't go with the steel entirely steel hammer.
Right.
I'd go with a fiberglass handle or even a wood handle.
Right.
Now, when we're talking about handles, one other thing very quickly is the shape of the handle.
Yeah.
Some of them have almost a hatchet type feel to them.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are more of a straight handle.
Right. Yeah.
A lot of that's personal preference.
Mm.
Our contractor that we were talking about, though, brought up a great point. He doesn't like the hatchet style handles.
Right.
For one main reason, he can't slip it into that little hammer holder on his belt as easily.
Right.
And that's a big thing. He said it got very frustrating, and he usually shaves that off if he's stuck using a hammer like that.
Yep.
So think about that. One last thing to really focus on is the material used, because there is a new material out there, relatively new, but titanium. And it's getting talked about. There's a lot of buzz about that. Go to a titanium hammer. It's going to reduce the vibration. Sometimes some manufacturers say it'll reduce it up to 10 times from a steel hammer.
Right.
It's still as strong and powerful and will drive nails as well as a steel hammer will, but it reduces the vibration dramatically.
Right.
Here's the scoop on that. It's really, really super expensive.
Yes, it is.
So you're talking sometimes upwards of $200 to get a titanium hammer. You can get a wood-handled one that was made overseas for around $80 to $90.
Right.
If you're just using it for normal, do-it-yourself type stuff, don't bother with it. Steel is still the way to go. And even a lot of professionals still opt for steel, largely because of the cost benefits. The best thing we can recommend, though, is before you buy a hammer at all, go try them out. I mean, you can't go pound stuff.
No.
But pick it up. See how it feels in your hand.
Right. Give it a little swing in the store, you know, test one in each hand, see the difference.
Watch you're swinging it.
Well, yes. I'm just saying,
you
know.
You thunking little kids or something.
Like wrist action, like you're ringing some bells or
People
something.
People are going to think you have problems.
Hey, I stood there and did it, and so did you.
Yeah, I did. Anyway, that's what we'd recommend. Make sure you try it out. I would never buy a hammer online. You know, you can maybe get a good price, but when I can actually hold it, make sure it's going to work for me, I'd rather do that.
Yes. Okay, so here's the deal. Squirrels are scurrying everywhere, and they're stashing their little nuts for winter all over in my potted plants, which is, by the way, really annoying. And they're going to be ready for winter, but are you going to be ready? Coming up after the break, we're going to help by giving you a sneak peek of a free fall home maintenance workshop that's actually happening a little bit later today. Don't go anywhere. You're going to want this information.
If you want to take your DIY skills up a rung, the Repco Light Home Improvement Show is here to give you a boost on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, Betsy, today's going to be interesting because after the show, we're heading to a fall home maintenance class that Repco Light sponsored.
Yep.
It's put on by Home Repair Services out of Grand Rapids, and it's going to be all about getting your home ready for the changing seasons.
Yes, it is.
Well, right now, we're in the studio with Mike Zamaron from Home Repair Services. He's going to be heading up the class, and we thought we'd get a little bit of a sneak peek.
Right.
Mike, thanks for being here.
Hey, thank you so much. Appreciate the opportunity.
Now, why don't you take just a few seconds here to tell our listeners a little more about Home Repair Services, just so they understand where you're coming from.
Okay. For those, there are a lot who are not familiar with Home Repair Services. It is a nonprofit organization, been around for 39 years, serving all of Kent County, bringing different resources together to help homeowners who are struggling or who are vulnerable situations. And we also have a self-help program, which is to empower homeowners with knowledge when they want to be able to do things themselves and wish they had just a little bit more information. We're going to make sure that they have it.
And that's for everybody,
it's
right?
right? For everyone.
Any homeowner in Kent County or any homeowner who wants to come to your...
Any homeowner. We absolutely have the classes. The self-help part is the classes. And that is anyone can come in. Doesn't matter where they live. We've had people come from out of state come to our classes because they know that they're, hey, there's a free class and they're going to teach us some stuff and they really believe and see what we're doing and we're going to share it with everybody.
Well, that's partly why you're here. In fact, I'd say that's mostly why you're here.
I would say so.
Is you've got a fall home maintenance class taking place today, right? 10 o'clock?
Absolutely.
At your facility?
Absolutely,
which is located where?
1100 South Division.
All right. So that's coming up at 10 o'clock. So everybody can just put your car keys down for a second because we can still finish out the show.
Wait till after our show is done.
But it's a fall home maintenance class. It's free.
It is free, yes.
And it's open to anybody who wants to come and learn. And what we wanted to do is kind of give a bit of a preview of what you're going to cover in the class.
Sure.
But also because we know not everybody's going to get out there to the class.
Right.
And this is important. Why don't you just run us through some of the stuff that you feel are really big projects as we're transitioning from summer. My children were less than thrilled, except one. I've got one child who was thrilled to be going back to school. The rest wanted her to just be quiet about this whole school thing.
Right.
But anyway, we're transitioning into a new season. Winter's coming. What kind of things do we need to do for our homes?
Well, there's actually a lot of things. We have limited time on this today to teach all those things. We cover a lot of things, but really what we want to punch on is the exterior and being prepared for winter. What are the things we need to do? We need to make sure the eaves troughs are cleaned out. I mean, a lot of damage can happen because eaves troughs are not cleaned out. You know, they get plugged up. They get filled up with water, then the water freezes, they get heavy, and then they start pulling away. So that's one thing. And then air sealing. The big thing is air sealing. We can do a lot of different things from caulking our own windows, sealing our foundations, sealing our own windows, weather stripping on doors. And you know that those little bare spots or thin spots of paint, you might want to get some paint on there before winter gets here. It's an ideal time to do it.
Well, it's always an ideal time to paint.
We did not ask him to say that, by the way.
No.
I'd just like to point that out.
No, he brought that for free.
Yes.
I'm sliding him a $20 bill right now.
No.
Yeah.
So I thought it was $40.
Oh, price just went up.
Yeah, right.
So this air sealing thing. Now, I like the idea. Mm-hmm. Where do I even begin?
Well, look around the foundation. If you see any cracks at all in the foundation, you want to get them sealed. And when I do the home maintenance checkups, what I suggest to homeowners is to go in their basement and have a little something that'll make a little smoke or vapor, or I suggest an incense stick, right?
Okay.
And walk around the perimeter. When that little puff of smoke moves, you know you got air coming in. Do this on a windy day, obviously.
So you're
and
inside.
You're
the
inside, and you're walking around the outside of your basement wall. And you'll see that little drift of smoke coming off that incense stick. And when the wind's blowing, if it's coming through, it's going to move it. You just identified a spot where air is coming in. So that's one way of finding where you need to seal. But any gaps, if you see it, fill it with something, some sealant.
So we're talking about the foundation of the house at this point.
Absolutely.
What do you recommend? Just
It all depends on what it is. If it's a large gap, then I would recommend getting some mortar. You can go small portions of mortar, mix it up, and put it in there. Otherwise, a cement caulk.
I really like the incense stick.
Yeah, it works.
Thing walking around.
It does work, yeah.
Because sometimes you probably can't see these things, but that's going to make it very apparent.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So that. What other things?
Check the door. Where your entry door is. A lot of bad weather stripping. You can replace weather stripping around a door for $15. There's the weather stripping that is attached to a piece of wood that you can nail around there, or a metal that has a rubber seal around
it.
You can even replace the weather stripping that's in most of today's entry doors. That nice, some of them are magnetic, some of them are compression foam. You can peel those out of there, and you can actually put new ones right back into place. What are the old ones? Door sweeps, the little crack down in the corner, when you close your door, right down in the corner you see that light. They make little foam pads to put on there. They're a couple of dollars for a couple of those pads. That's a lot of little things.
So tool around the house, check that. What about windows?
Yes, for the windows, you want to caulk around the windows where it's needed, and identify those places and caulk around them, and then also on the inside, depending on the age of your window, maybe you could, there are some old windows. I can't put all new windows in, Mike. What am I to do now? I want put plastic on them, and we'll show you how to do that.
Okay, so you'll cover that in the class.
Absolutely, that is one of the props we have. Is it's an old display window, and I actually go through the steps of. All six different steps that you can do to air seal that window on the outside and on the inside.
That's a handy one for anyone who rents a house, because then obviously you're not going to replace the windows to make it more airtight. But
yeah, it's a way to make
windows
it more comfortable
are notoriously drafty in rented mm-hmm. homes for whatever reason. So yeah. That's a great easy fix for renters.
It Do is. These things really pay off, though? I mean, I know when you read the packaging, it tells you that, oh, you're saving tons of money.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Is that so?
There's a lot of statistics. You can look up a lot of different things. But, you know, the numbers say that you can save $20 a window.
$20 a window
that you put some plastic on, or you know put that plastic film on there, and that for one window is probably $4, and you can do it yourself in a matter of a half an hour, so you just paid yourself what $15.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that adds up.
So
I'll take
got
it.
All of that you'll cover. Mm-hmm. Some other things that you'll cover in the class.
Yes, lots of information.
The class is coming up today.
Yes.
At 10
mm-hmm.
o'clock.
Yeah. Yeah.
So listen to the rest of the show, and then you're going to want to start getting ready.
Yeah.
Keep listening to the radio, but make your way to where are you guys located?
1100 South Division.
And that's where the class takes place.
That's where the class is.
Do they need to pre-register or anything?
No pre-registering. Just show up. Just show up. We ask everybody to just sign in when you come, because that way we can kind of keep track of how many students we have for different topics.
How long does the class run? Is it a couple hours?
It's scheduled from 10 to 12. This is a very vast topic of, and
sure.
Sometimes I'll run over. If someone has questions, I want to answer them. If they show up, I can talk all day about different topics, but I want to share. But I'd rather make sure I answer everyone's questions. So I'm going to be there until I answer everyone's questions. We also want to thank Ripco Light so much for sponsoring this class today. That's the only way that we can make classes like this possible, is through their support.
Well, we're happy to do that, because we think it's a very important thing. We love it when people can gain knowledge, learn how to do new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's always fun. And you feel better about yourself. You feel like you've taken that next step. And no matter where you're at on the spectrum, taking that next step is a big deal, because you start to feel better about your home.
Mm-hmm.
You start to feel better about the problems that do happen in your home.
Right.
I know when my dryer failed the second time, I felt way better about this situation than I did the first time, because I'd been through it. I'd learned a few things, and I knew about what to do. Same thing with what you guys are talking about and all the other classes you run. So we're happy to be a part of this one.
Well, thank you so much.
If people want to get more information about this before they head out, how's the best way to do that?
Check out our website, homerepairservices.org, or our Home Repair Services Facebook. A lot of information on Facebook.
We'll put some links in the show notes. You can check that out. Definitely make sure you take the opportunity to get out and learn. I mean, it's going to be a great Saturday to do that, and then you'll know what to do when the weather really starts to turn. Mike, thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you so much. We greatly appreciate it.
Well, Betsy, sadly, unbelievably, for me at least, the show is over for another week. All this hype, all this prep work, preparation.
Yes.
And then it's just done in the blink of an eye.
Yeah, it happens. That's showbiz.
Is it? It's showbiz?
Yeah, it is.
Well, anyway, it's over. If you want to relive this episode, and really, who wouldn't?
Right.
You can find it at repcolite.com, and you can find all kinds of other stuff there. Blog posts, lots of witty interactions.
Yes.
Right?
Well, and don't forget that while you're there, you can buy tickets for our 2018 Inspired Design and Color event. Now, normally that event is exclusively for designers and architects, but this year we decided to do a second night for all of you, our very loyal listeners. It's November 7th at the Sunnybrook Country Club in Granville, and we do have a surprise presenter for that night.
A very big surprise.
Yes, but you don't get to find out who that is until a little bit closer to that date. So go and get your tickets. $10 per ticket. Seats are limited.
Right. And all the profits from the tickets are going to go to Home Repair Services, the folks running that great fall home maintenance seminar that we talked about just now in the show. And remember, that starts at 10 o'clock in Grand Rapids at Home Repair Services at their facility there. Betsy and I are heading out there right now.
We are.
To get there and learn stuff.
Yes.
Hopefully not embarrass ourselves.
Right.
I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. Remember, if you're about to lose your DIY sanity, we can help you fix that crazy.
And we'll help you make sure that the squirrels aren't outdoing you when it comes to fall prep.
Yes, and hiding their stash in the leaves in your gutter.
Right. Exactly. Thanks for listening.